Welcome back. You're listening to KBOO's Voices of the Middle East. This is Gudarz Ektedari, and we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd like to ask your guest what he thinks about it seems that this whole concern about Iran's nuclear program is a smokescreen for the fact that Iran is planning to sell its oil in euros in March.
Yes. There are reports that Iran is considering setting up an oil bourse, an oil exchange, which will operate in EU money in euros and not in the U.S. dollar. According to reports, this would have a significant negative impact on the U.S. Financially, because the demand for American dollars will decrease, and it will lead to a significant increase in inflation in the United States, among other things. Now, I'm not an economist or financial specialist, but this has been provided as one of the theories for the real motivations behind this talk about Iranian nuclear weapons and the need to preempt Iran. Now, I'm not sure how any of the plans that they have going now will resolve that issue. I mean, if imposing a sanctions on Iran, especially any kind of would be an encouragement for Iran to establish this oil exchange. So I'm not quite sure or threatening Iran to bomb Iran will certainly not help Iran export oil. So I'm not exactly sure how these policies that they're talking about is going to resolve that issue, if that is in fact the real motivations behind their actions.
Yeah, and why would the European Union be allied with the U.S. Government on this issue? I don't understand, because they would benefit from this selling oil in euros.
Their immediate benefit would be, but the EU and the United States have much deeper financial relations with each other, and a sudden drop in the value of U.S. currency could have negative impacts on them down the road as well.
And another point probably is that because of all these threats of embargoes and sanctions, Iranian government has started moving some of their capital from European banks to East Asian countries and banks in Malaysia and Singapore and Sri Lanka and other countries in the East.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you, caller, for your comment.
Thank you.
And the phone number here is 503-231-8187. If you have any other question, you can call us in and ask from Cyrus Aftari, who is coming to us from New York. And I would like to ask another question. You mentioned a possibility of creating some sort of chaos with regard to regime change in Iran, and especially the separatists. Could you, with knowledge you have, and I don't know if you are traveling to Iran frequently or not, but do you have an idea what is the perception of Iranian people, and how this thing, the issue of being a nuclear power plays in Iranian nationalism, and especially with youth and intellectuals, and also among the opposition groups who are not necessarily supporter of the Islamic regime, but they still think that accessing a nuclear energy is Iranian right, and they kind of feel pride in it.
I do travel to Iran. In fact, I just went there a few months ago. But, I mean, you really don't have to go to Iran to understand the answer to the question of what do the Iranian people think about all this. Suppose the situation had been reversed. Suppose it was Iran who told the United States, people of the United States, that you're not allowed to do something which you think that which, you know, otherwise you have the legal right to do. Well, I mean, the natural reaction of the people of the United States would be to find that extremely insulting and to be upset about it. Why would we think that the people of Iran would react any differently? I mean, they love their country, too, and they have a sense of patriotism as well. So, I mean, we really don't, I mean, it would only make logical sense for the Iranians to support their government on this issue. And in fact, report after report, as well as my own anecdotal observations, were that the Iranian people, regardless of their views on anything else regarding their own government, support their country's right to nuclear technology. And this cuts across class and political viewpoints. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a fundamentalist, a religious fundamentalist, or if you're a pro-Western, secular, liberal opposition member. They all support Iran on this issue because it's a self-evident right. I mean, you know, that Iran has the same rights in this regard as any other country. Brazil, for example, which has recently developed the same technology that Iran has developed, and the Iranians are going to ask themselves, why not us? If they can do it, why not us? And it's particularly insulting to Iranians that India and Pakistan not only have this technology but have gone on to develop nuclear weapons. Now, you know, Iranians, you'll see a difference of opinion when it comes to the issue of nuclear weapons, but when it comes to the issue of civilian nuclear technology, everyone in Iran supports it, and they're all very proud of the fact that they've been able to obtain this technology and develop it on their own in the face of opposition from the West.
We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. If the United States, you know, as you say, the United States would not want to be bullied by another country in terms of developing technology. So really, it isn't about, it sounds to me that it really isn't about that technology or the ability to get that technology. It sounds like to me that it's more of an issue of the oil. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, another one of the theories about why this issue is being raised as a pretext is that it's actually about the oil, and the United States is essentially doing all this in order to access or control or dominate Middle Eastern oil. Now, again, I'm not an economist, and I can't address that from an economics point of view. Simply looking at Iraq, we see that they were not able to dominate Iraq's oil resources because Iraq's oil is essentially... the oil production is practically, you know, insubstantial compared to what it used to produce. And in either case, Iran has to export its oil anyway, and oil and the price of oil is set by the markets, international markets. So, I mean, I can't say for sure that that's their plan. But then again, I'm not privy to their plans. However, what we can conclude is that based on the fact that Iran has made repeated offers to resolve this issue in a manner which, you know, international experts would say is legitimate, and these offers were simply swept away, that the nuclear issue really isn't the motivating force. It could be that it's not about oil and it's not about the oil exchange. It could be simply an ideological bias. It could be that there are people in Washington who still have it in for Iran from the 1979 revolution, the Islamic revolution, and they need to see that ended, and they need to see the regime toppled, and that's really what's motivating them. Again, this would be speculation on my part.
We're talking about the nuclear program of Iranian government and the decision by IAEA to report Iran to Security Council of United Nations. And I keep saying reporting, and sometimes I say referral. Is there any difference in terminology, whether it's being reported or referred to Security Council?
Well, that's a matter of some debate, but ultimately it may be an irrelevant difference. Once it goes before, I mean, technically the IAEA can only report or refer or just take this whole Iran file to the Security Council if there was some evidence, some basis to conclude that Iran had diverted nuclear technology for the manufacture of nuclear weapons. Now, thus far, the IAEA inspectors have concluded that that has not been the case. So there was always this question of how the IAEA or how the U.S. would convince the IAEA to transfer Iran's file to the Security Council because there wasn't a legal basis to do so. So what they did is instead of waiting for the IAEA to transfer the file to the Security Council, they got the Security Council to make the request to the IAEA to send the file to them. And essentially, they managed to get around the legal requirements. Now, however it got there, whether it was referred to there or reported there, I think is largely irrelevant because once it's there, then the United States can, for example, do the same thing it did in Iraq. It could get some sort of vaguely worded resolution passed and then claim that that was a basis or a legal justification to for example, attack militarily.
Thank you. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Hello?
How's it?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, we have a caller, but we have a problem with. Please call back again, and I will let you in. We have... less than 10 minutes left on the show, and this is one of the interesting topics, and by telephones we get, most of the listeners are really interested to ask a question and see really how they can contribute to this discussion. But again, the question still remains that what would be the options that the Security Council, with or without U.S., would take? And I was actually reading an article recently written in one of German's newspaper that criticized basically the European three members and said that basically that the change in German government was a golden opportunity for the American representative to try to get the other right now. If you remember, during the Iraq War, there was just Britain and France and Germany were opposing the invasion. And then that happened so fast that there wasn't enough time to bring them on board. This time, apparently, there was more. Opportunity for U.S. to get Germans and the French and then Russians and China on board. And still, we're not sure what would be the result of Security Council discussion, which is going to be on the first week of March. And within this period from now till then, Mr. Al-Baradei, the IAEA chairman, would have to prepare a report. And as I understand, Cyrus, Baradei in the previous reports have always mentioned that there is no evidence that the Iranian government has created anything, or even with the latest intelligence reports of U.S. administration, there is going to be at least about up to 10 years until they can really create a bomb or get to the point that they can produce a bomb. Obviously there are lots of preparation for that for the case if they are really pursuing a military intervention or attack on Iran. I would like to really thank you, Cyrus, for giving us this time, and appreciate participating in this program, and hope be able to talk to you and in the near future.
Okay.
Thank you, Cyrus.
It was a pleasure being there.
Yeah, bye-bye.
اهل خود ویرانی دیگه دق کرده، بس که دق دق کرده، مثل یک کوه یخ میچکم در مطبخ، از سپاه تسلیم روز و شب بی تقویم. بد نامردم من به خود، نه که به زن بد کردم. من به خود، نه که به زن بد کردم.
You're listening to KBOO's Voices of the Middle East. This is Gudarz Ekhtedari. We were talking about the Iranian nuclear issue and the referral to United Nations. And the other topic that kind of took lots of attention this past week is the Danish newspaper print of some cartoons of Prophet Muhammad and how it caused a storm of protest around the world. The fact of the matter is that these cartoons were sent to that newspaper on a, it wasn't actually a contest, but it was a project by the Jyllands-Posten newspaper in Denmark that in fact recruited these cartoons by different people to make fun of Muhammad, the prophet. And one of the signs of this came out today in Guardian, the fact that a cartoonist now came out, by the name Christopher Zeiler. He submitted a series of unsolicited cartoons that actually were dealing with resurrection of Jesus the Christ, and sent it to Jyllands-Posten, the newspaper, around the period that they were asking for cartoons about Muhammad the prophet. And the Zeiler received an email back from the paper's Sunday editor, Jens Kaiser, who said, I don't think Jyllands-Posten's readers will enjoy these drawings. As a matter of fact, I think that they will provoke an outcry. Therefore, I will not use them. However, the same standard was not used when the Muslim cartoon were submitted. So, with that, I just wanted to make a little comment about how double standard played. And the other thing was, this happened back in September, and then now all of a sudden in February, it was reprinted in several major newspaper in Europe that caused all the problem. With that, we'll end the show tonight, and have a good evening.